Thank you for coming. My name is Dmitry Pell. I am with Red Hat. I am engineering manager responsible for the identity management portfolio at Red Hat. And today we will be talking about enterprise identity management with open source tools. I will run through this deck as fast as I can so that we have enough room and time for questions, because I hope that you have some of those and they get very interesting, and I want to have a discussion with you to see what is on your mind about the identity management. So let's start with just defining the context. What is identity management? So preparing for the presentation, I went to Wikipedia just to make sure that we understand what we're talking about, because that's the ultimate source of our wisdom nowadays. So Wikipedia says that identity management describes the management of individual principles, the authentication, authorization, and privileges within or across system and enterprise boundaries. We're not talking about identities and principles on the web and personal principles. We are talking about the enterprise and systems within the enterprise. So that's important to understand and scope the context. So enterprise boundaries with the goal of increasing security, productivity, decreasing costs, and downtime and repetitive tasks. So we'll start with an overview of different technologies, not only open source technologies, just what identity management consists of, and then see how the different technologies stick together and help address the real problems. So first of all, in most of the enterprises nowadays, there is Active Directory. It's the core of the identity management, and a lot of solutions are based around integration or leveraging the features of the Active Directory, even in the Linux or mixed environments. So in addition to Active Directory, there are different technologies just to live. Directory Server. So Directory Server provides you, gives you the capability to store data in a hierarchical form. Usually people think about directory as the storage, hierarchical storage for users and groups and their relationships. But you can generally put whatever you think is necessary. And for example, Asterisk has its own, there was a presentation earlier on today about Asterisk. So Asterisk has its own schema that can be loaded into a directory server. There are multiple different applications that can use LDAP as a storage for the information. But the original idea behind directory servers is to store users, groups, and related objects, and it's mostly used for the identity management. But there are some cases in telecommunication industries where the LDAP servers are used, for example, for storing accounts and mobile devices and the inventory and the calls, call history, things like that. So a lot of applications of LDAP in different cases. And there are a lot of technologies, open source and not open source, that provide the implementation of the LDAP. So there is OpenLDAP, it's a part of multiple distributions, it's an open source project. 389 Directory Server, which is also a product as Red Hat Directory Server. It's a part of Fedora and Red Hat Enterprise Linux. I think it's a part of Debian also available there. OpenDS, Apache DS, SunDS, eDirectory, there are all sorts of different directory server implementations done in multiple different languages. Kerberos is one of the core authentication technologies. There are multiple implementations of the Kerberos protocol. If you are using Windows, you are using Kerberos. If you are using MIT Kerberos, you're definitely using Kerberos. Apple has its own implementation. So Kerberos helps you with the authentication in a secure way, and Kerberos helps you with the single sign-on when you authenticated once, established your identity, and got a ticket that can be used for the single sign-on when you access other services inside your infrastructure. So to identify you in a secure way again. Samba. Samba is an open source project. It has multiple components and multiple parts. One part is the open source clone of the Active Directory as a domain controller, but it is also a file server, Samba file server. So when people talk about Samba, it's important to understand what part they are talking about. A lot of people talking about Samba think that it is just a file server or just a clone of the Active Directory or just a client for Active Directory integration, but it's actually all three of those things, and it is important to understand them. NIS is an old technology. So on Linux, you have local files that store users, groups, and other maps. So NIS came historically to just centrally serve those files. And about 10 years ago, it became obsolete in terms of audit compliance. You just can't pass audit nowadays. It's too insecure. So if you still have NIS in your environment, I think you should look at other technologies and solutions. Moving on. Web-related technologies inside the enterprise, because you need to have web technologies, because even within the enterprise, you have multiple applications that are web-based. So they leverage the identities from some central server, and you need to authenticate against those applications and provide single sign-on. So there are multiple technologies related to the web applications running inside the enterprise. There is OpenID, there is Oath, there is SAML. In Windows world, there are all sorts of WS- technologies which Microsoft came up. Strong authentication. For the remote access and sometimes internal access, companies use two-factor authentication. And in government and financial sectors, smart cards are more popular, while in other industries, two-factor authentication based on the tokens like RSA or YubiKey or Vasco or Active Identity. There are multiple vendors in this space. So they provide OTP-based two-factor authentication. When you have something you know, which is a PIN or password, and then it is combined with the token code that you see on your device or on your mobile phone or on your laptop. Okay, so that's pretty much the landscape of different technologies. So let's see what's going on with them. So first of all, we need to ask ourselves, Active Directory is very popular, it's Microsoft, so why it is so popular, even though it is a proprietary solution? Well, it is an integrated solution, and it's relatively easy to use. And it offers a simple configuration for clients, and all the complexity is hidden from the users and administrators. And the interfaces that you use, they are easy to understand, easy to comprehend, and easy to master. So if we compare it to what we find in the open source technologies in Linux, we'll see that there are technologies that solve specific problem like Kerberos, okay? You can really securely authenticate and do single sign-on. But is it easy to deploy? Is it easy to configure? Is it easy to maintain? No. LDAP, can you use it? Absolutely. You can deploy your LDAP server, you can configure it the way you want, but you need to really be expert to configure it and to understand what you are doing. So it's a bag of technologies that are independent, that do some specific stuff well, but don't place nicely because each individual project doesn't think that it is its responsibility to sort of have an overarching view of combining those technologies together and making work nicely and be usable and maintainable. So it's really hard to install and configure sometimes. There are many options. You have a Swiss Army knife, and you can tune all sorts of different parameters, not even knowing what it is, right, and why you're doing that. Lack of good user interfaces. So command line is powerful, but even if sometimes you really need people who do not understand to the level of complexity that command line usually provides, the people who need to solve a specific problem with the identity management, reset a password for a user, right, at the help desk. Just give me a way to click here and resolve the problem, not figure out how the system is working underneath. So is the situation really that bad that in open source there's nothing? Well, no. Fortunately, not. So let me introduce you FreeIPA project. IPA stands for Identity Policy Audit. It's currently focused on identities and related policies. There is no audit component at the moment, though we have been ambitious about that and we're planning to do the audit part. Later, we realized that audit is a completely different world and bigger than us. So we are now looking for ways to just integrate and take advantage of the existing other projects, and we are interested in working with other projects to plug in the audit component. But really, the audit component should be outside of us. It's relevant to much more than just identity management. So that's why we will be not talking about audit anymore in the scope of this presentation. So FreeIPA really solves two problems. If you look at the just pure Linux environment, where you need to manage identities and systems and policies related to those systems, identities and keys and certificates, and do authentication. So for that, if you look at the individual technologies, they are there, but FreeIPA combines all that together, allowing you to quickly install, deploy, configure, maintain, manage the identities and authentication better than any individual technology in this bag. So if you compare to the environments where you have Active Directory and you want your Linux infrastructure to play nicely while your users and your enterprise really dominated by the Active Directory, then IDM, Identity Management, or FreeIPA can solve the problem of integrating your Linux infrastructure into the Active Directory world, and we'll see how it can be done. So what main components it consists of? So first of all, it consists of Kerberos KDC built on we're reusing MIT Kerberos KDC. There is a KDC that is hooked into LDAP. There is an LDAP based on 389 directory server. There is a PKI component that can issue certificates. There is an optional DNS component that is integrated with LDAP. There is a command line and UI framework that allows you to manage data and entities in DNS and LDAP and control authentication and policies and issue certificates. So there are administrators that manage the infrastructure, well, the system through the command line interfaces and GUI, and there are Unix and Linux systems that are joined into that domain and are being managed. And being managed means that they have identity in the system, they have keys, certificates, and they can be part of the policies that gets applied, and the client software really respects those policies as they get applied. So let's run through the features. First of all, centralized authentication via Kerberos and LDAP. So when you get Kerberos, you can single sign on, you authenticate it once and you access different other systems or resources or portals, and you enjoy the single sign-on, you are not prompted again and again for the password. Or you can do LDAP. So the same accounts, the same password can be used for both for Kerberos and LDAP authentication. We manage different kinds of objects in the system. So it's users groups, and for the first time in Linux, it is hosts and host groups. In the past, net groups have been used for the host grouping. So now that there are with IPA, you can manage and hosts as individual entities and group them and apply policies to them. And there are Kerberized services. So if you have an application like Apache or LDAP server or printing server or mail server, and you want single sign-on, you can define this service, get it a key, configure it to use Kerberos, and if it supports Kerberos. And then the users who already authenticated would be able to access this application with single sign-on. Integrated identities, when we store data in LDAP, usually, traditionally, when people store data in LDAP, there is no referential integrity. So in some cases, it's really important to have referential integrity. So in those cases, we added some additional attributes to be able to keep this referential integrity. Manageability. So one of the main goals was to make it very simple to install and deploy both client and the server. And in the past, you really need to spend a couple days setting up LDAP server and Kerberos server. It's about 3 minutes now to set up a server. So, and the client is also like one command. You do yum install of the packages, and then you do one command for the server, and then one command for the client. And you can start trying it and exploring the capabilities of the system. It's very simple. So everything that we do through the command line, through the web UI, is available through the command line. Actually, the behind the scenes, there is same interface, same API. So whatever is available in the command line can be exposed in web API, in web UI. I'm sorry. So it's not that everything in the web UI, but pretty much 95% of what is being exposed through the command line. And through the command line, it's very simple. It's IPA user add, IPA user mode, IPA user delete, IPA host add. And you can manipulate with objects inside the system in a very comprehensive way. You can, it has a very good help system, so you can really ask a question, what are the commands? What can you do with the user? What objects can I manipulate on? Oh, I can do services, I can do hosts, I can do host groups, I can do sudo, and so on. So you can then drill down and see what you can do with different objects. So pretty powerful. One of the requirements that we had from the very beginning is to be pluggable and extensible, because people want to manage different objects and want to be able to drop additional attributes into users or hosts or groups and so on. So the whole system is built with the notion that somebody can extend it. And we have the guidelines how to do that. So if you need to add something, you can follow the guidelines and do that. And actually, we had several contributions, like the sudo functionality, the sudo management was completely contributed by the person who took the guide and said, OK, let me try. And he tried, we saw some issues, we helped, we changed, and now the project includes the sudo centralized management, which is great. Flexible delegation and administrative model. So there are three different models. One model defines what you can do to your own entry. So when you log, when you authenticate it, you can connect to the system and you see your own personal record, your personal page, and the self-service model defines what you can do to your own data in the directory. So can you change your address? Can you change your phone number? Can you change your mail address and something like that? So that's all flexible. You can change that or define what users can do. Then there is a role-based access control model where you can say that these are the privileges and these privileges, well, there are permissions that are aggregated into the privileges, and then there are roles that aggregate the privileges. And then you can associate a group of users or a user with a role and say, okay, this user is an administrator, so that's his role. This role means that he has these privileges, and each privilege has a set of permissions. So it's a multi-tier hierarchical structure that you can control through command line or UI in a pretty simple way. And then there is a delegation model when you can say these group of entities can perform these operations on that group of entities. So it's complementary to the roles-based and self. So with these three different models, you can really define very fine-grained access control in the system. Next slide. Certificate provisioning for hosts and services. So there is an embedded CA, and currently we are capable of issuing certificates for the hosts and services that are running on those hosts. We don't have support for the certificates and certificate provisioning for users, but this is something that we are working on. So then there is serving a sets of auto-mount maps to different clients. So if you have different data centers with the file service, you can define that the shares for this location can be served from this server, and they can be, the maps can be different for different locations. There are all sorts of advanced features like central host-based access control, central managed pseudo. I already mentioned that. There is group-based password policies, so you can say that the password needs to be not less than that amount of characters, and it needs to consist of those groups of characters, and this is the history, and this is the length of this history. What else? There are a couple other other attributes, and you can define all those policies related to the password. It's not only on per individual, but per group. You can say, well, these are the policies that apply to the group. And if there are overlapping groups, then there will be a more restrictive policy that would apply to the specific user. There is automatic management of private groups. So are you familiar with private groups? So, okay. So I see some nodes. But just a quick, if you want to have a file privately owned, you need to have the user owning this file and then the group that has only this user. Otherwise, some other users would be able to access this file. So managing the groups that have just this user becomes a challenge. So this is the private group. This is the group for this specific user. So FreeIPA just automatically creates those groups, and they are available. And they have the same name, and the UID and GID are the same. So they are automatically maintained. You can decouple them if you want, but when you create user, automatically the private group is created. For the legacy systems, there is a plugin. You can enable it, and it will serve the data that is stored in LDAP, but as an OWASP NIS protocol. So if you have old systems that you are migrating from, but still have to have, you can serve NIS maps to those systems. I'm sorry. Painless password migration. When you migrate to FreeIPA, you need to have hashes generated for each user, Kerberos hashes. And to generate Kerberos hashes, you need to have a clear text password. So when you are bringing some data, you don't bring clear text passwords. So there are some smart algorithms on, well, not algorithms to decode, but there are some ways that you can set up your environment so that you don't have an extra overhead of resetting your user passwords. You can either ask people to log with a specific web page, or you can use the client, and the client really can handle that and update the hashes. So if you're interested, we can follow up after the presentation. Manage hosts. The idea behind manage hosts feature was that there are some hosts that deal with other hosts. For example, hypervisor has guests, or there is a host that is responsible for setting up software-defined networks. So it needs to request certificates for the for the VPN, or it needs to set up keys. So it needs to have privileges on behalf of other systems in a subnet or in a data center. So, or maybe it is a provisioning system. So you can entitle a host to be sort of in charge of other hosts. So that's an addition to the access control capabilities. As I mentioned earlier, there can be a DNS server, so you can take advantage of DNS server that we provide as a part of the free APA. It's built on top of, well, it leverages Bind. It stores its data inside the LDAP backend, in the LDAP storage, and the value of using our DNS is that as you deploy replicas and as you deploy your infrastructure, the data is consistent and maintained in the DNS. So you really don't need to do additional steps and additional manual configuration if you have a standalone DNS server. So we try to update things dynamically, and by default, leverage DNS discovery for everything, for LDAP, for Kerberos. So you can explicitly configure clients to go to a specific host, but it's not that scalable. So when you add replicas, they automatically added to DNS as servers, so the clients can discover them through the service records and know where to go for Kerberos and LDAP. Regarding replication, we support multi-master replication. We know about the deployment that has more than 50 servers dynamically deployed and supports about 5,000 virtual machines in a scalable cloud environment. So we know that multi-master replication works and that the DNS discovery also works, because without DNS discovery, you really can't elastically scale your infrastructure. But we also have the replication of users with Active Directory. So that was the first solution that we came up to interoperate with Active Directory. You can sync the user accounts from Active Directory to IPA, and you can sync passwords back and forth. But there are other solutions that I will mention in the presentation. You can deploy certificate authorities on every replica, or you can have a certificate authority on just a subset of them. And then we have a compatibility with broad set of clients, and that's time to introduce the client component. So the client component is called SSSD, System Security Services Daemon. It's a part of all known, as far as I know, Linux distributions, different versions, but it's all there. So SSSD is really a gateway into the central identity services and authentication services. It's not a special client for IPA. It is capable of working with LDAP and Kerberos and Active Directory and FreeIPA, so with multiple different technologies. It has been built in mind that Linux system can generally join into all sorts of infrastructure, so it's not locked on FreeIPA. And what does it provide? It provides gateway into authentication and access control. So key features are multiple parallel sources of identity and authentication, domains. So in the past, you had some flexibility in a switch to say that you have different sources of data, but you can't have two LDAP sources. With SSSD, you can have multiple LDAP sources of data, and they are merged all together through the API. So the applications calling into NSS C library, they just get users and their groups, regardless of where they came from. So, and you can get users from multiple LDAP sources, from Active Directory, from IPA. And what is nice is that SSSD smart to understand all the complexity of those identity sources, even subdomains, for example, for Active Directory and trust relationships. All information is cached, so the main, and you can control and tune the cache in different parameters, but there are main use cases. It's the remote data center, if you have enterprise that has multiple data centers spread all over the world. Usually in the past, you had to deploy an LDAP server or identity server, or actually a couple of those into every data center. And SSSD lifts this burden because everything is cached. And even if you lose the connection to the central server, the identities would be still there. So you don't need to deploy costly directories in multiple locations. You can offload that to SSSD and reduce the size of your infrastructure. And there is a laptop or branch office use case when you really have a more mobile device that needs to connect and it is online and offline much more frequently than the data center. You know, this laptop runs SSSD for last 3 years, I think, or even more. The first time it became available in late 2009, so more than three years. So in advanced features, it understands not only general LDAP server and Kerberos, but it understands the specific features of FreeIPA and Active Directory. So it can understand, oh, okay, I'm configured to talk to Active Directory. That means that I'm going to talk to Global Catalog. I'm going to expect those controls to be supported so I can use them because it is Active Directory, or I can do host-based access control because it is FreeIPA configured. So very powerful, flexible, and integratable with multiple different identities and authentication sources. So that's the diagram of multiple pieces altogether, hard to read, so let's build it up. So the first, you have Kerberos KDC with a directory server. They are sort of working together. The directory server keeps the accounts and keeps the objects while KDC is used to authenticate. And if you need to access to directory server, you can authenticate with Kerberos and use JSS API to authenticate to Kerberos. So they are complementing each other. So on the client side, we have SSSD that provides authentication and lookups users, groups, net groups, host-based access control, rules, sudo, auto-mount, all these things are looked up and cached. Then we support other technologies like PAM, LDAP, PAM Curve 5, NSS LDAP, that all can be hooked into FreeIPA and directory server will serve this information to those clients. No problem. There is NTP that we configure on the server. It's important for Kerberos authentication. Time is a part of mutual authentication in the Kerberos protocol. So it's important that server and client are within 5 seconds from each other. DNS is optional, and is, as I mentioned earlier, it's used for the name lookups and service discovery for the clients. CA is hidden behind the infrastructure. It stores data in the directory server. At the beginning, we had a separate directory server instance. Now we're converging, and with the version that is available now in Fedora, the CA is already using the same directory server instance as the rest of the identities, and that allows you to have same access control rules regarding the certificates, which is pretty powerful. So we're building up the capabilities for the CA to issue different types of certificates for different entities, including users. So we are going that route. There is a management framework that allows you to manage CA, issue certificates, and manage entities in the directory server. This management framework is exposed through the command line and web UI to the management station. And web UI is written in JavaScript. The command line is Python-based. The whole management framework is Python-based. We use JSON for the web UI, and we use XML RPC for the CLI, but we are moving to use JSON for everything. There is another client-side component called CertMonger, which is very useful for tracking and issuing certificates. So when you have a certificate for a web server or Redis server or something else, some part of the infrastructure, at some point this certificate is going to expire. And you better know when it is going to expire, because you need to issue a new one. So CertMonger takes care of that. You can once issue a certificate and tell CertMonger to track this certificate. And from that time on, CertMonger will just re-request a new certificate from the server when time is up for the old certificate, which is pretty valuable. So you don't need to worry about certificate renewal and expiration anymore. And the CA, you can now, if you don't want the CA, you can use an external CA and don't have a certificate authority at all. Or you can use certificate authority as a root CA, or you can chain it to the existing certificate authority. And the last piece is IPA client that configures both SSSD and CertMonger. It's not a daemon, it's not a service, it's just you run it once. It configures SSSD, it configures CertMonger, it configures DNS, it configures Kerberos on the client machine, and it can configure also SSH, sudo, auto-mount, and SCLinux user mapping. So these are the client-side components that can be automatically configured and integrated and managed through the system. Okay, free APA and Active Directory. So as I mentioned earlier, user and password synchronization has been supported from the very beginning. And last couple of years, we have been intensively working on the cross-realm Kerberos trusts. We think it's the most valuable feature. It would allow, or allows actually already with the current software, for the users from Active Directory to access resources managed by IDM. So you don't need to do synchronization. There are no single point of failure. You define policies on APA side, but users come from Active Directory. But there are multiple use cases related to the interoperability with Active Directory. There are complex setups, there are subdomains on Active Directory, there are cross forest trusts on Active Directory side. So we are working on making all these cases supported. Right now, where we are, capability of supporting the root domain from the Active Directory and subdomains. And one of the features that has been added recently is the capability of respecting POSIX attributes that already defined in the Active Directory inside IPA infrastructure. So that's really valuable for the cases when you have some existing technologies that are pretty costly and you want to move to something open source and much cheaper. And that's what you will be able to do. One thing that in every distribution where free APA is available, it's a part of the distribution. It's not a product that any company is selling. It's just available for you, so you can consume it as a part of the operating system, not as a standalone product that you need to pay money for. Free APA and web technologies. We are taking baby steps in this area, but actually I'm very excited about this area because last couple of weeks there have been development in there, so we are trying to provide more services to the web applications through the Apache modes, and I think that One of the capabilities of FreeAPE that would be available quite soon is hooking into SSSD to provide identity so that right now every application has to deal with data in the LDAP. So every application has to build in authentication and secure this connection and deal with failover and deal with multiple different directories and types of the directories. So the idea is to provide that as a service that can be taken care of by SSSD, because SSSD already knows about all sorts of different things and it can expose the identity information to the application. So you don't need to build the complexity of all multiple domains and trusted domains and forests into your application. You can just leverage it from the SSSD. Free IPA and strong authentication. So OTP support has been recently introduced. You can now use FreeIPA as your two-factor solution. And we implemented the Kerberos extension or Kerberos RFC, that allows you to send OTP traffic over Kerberos protocol. RSA put together this RFC some time ago, and this is the first implementation that is available. We can manage our tokens inside IPA, or we can proxy to the external already existing solution over Redis. The plumbing and infrastructure has been in Fedora 19 and in the upstream version of FreeAPA, and there are patches on the list related to the management of the tokens and proxy configuration to the external Redis server. So the solution is really coming together and will be available quite soon. So future, we are working on a cross-project integration and support of the sophisticated AD integration use cases. We are polishing OTP solution. We have plans about user certificates and smart card support, and we want to add DHCP support, and there are like several hundreds of different RFEs and requirements that comes from the field that we want to implement over the course of time. We are a very open, friendly, responsive, and welcoming community, FreeAPA, freeapa.org, and SSSD. Please come, work with us, join us on building the core functionality, integrating whatever is interesting for you, whatever the problems you have, share with us. We will be really interested in working with you. And there are some resources so you can see where we are and find us. And now questions. Yes, please.
Is this a drop-in replacement for OpenLDAP? Or will it provide all the functionality that OpenLDAP currently has?
OpenLDAP is an open do-it-yourself LDAP directory server. Yes. So you can migrate from OpenLDAP. We have command migrate DS, and you can load data that you have. If you have, it all depends upon how inventive you have been with your directory. So if you have done a lot of customization yourself, changed the schema, created multiple different subtrees, then there will be limitations. So it's not a drop of replacement for every single OpenLDAP solution, but if you have a standard tree and you had your data in the standard tree with some extensions for user attributes or group attributes, then yes, you can migrate and use what is provided by AP. Yes, please. There was support for SSSD on SUSE, and I think it is supported. There was a person in the SSSD community who has been doing ports. I don't know how recent was the last port, but I know there were. For FreeIPA, no. FreeIPA is available only in Fedora and Red Hat and CentOS and Scientific Linux. But we are working with Debian community to port FreeIPA to Debian.
Okay.
And if you are a part of the Debian community, please, please, please help us with that. That's really important for us, and we will be glad to work with you. Does that answer your question? Thank you. Yes, please.
How would you say it compares with Samba 4?
With Samba 4, how it compares with Samba 4? Samba 4 is the drop-in replacement for the Active Directory. So it serves the needs of the Windows-like clients. So its goal is to serve Windows clients and replace costly Active Directory in Windows environments and provide Windows file sharing servers. So FreeIPA does the same thing but for Linux clients. So think about it as Active Directory but for Linux clients. And the strategy with Active Directory, Samba 4 moving forward is to have cross-forest trust. As soon as Samba 4 supports cross-forest trust, you really can eliminate Active Directory from the picture if you want. So that's the goal. Yes, please.
So I know that, or at least I've read that, instead of a trust between the FreeIPA and Active Directory, are there any plans for adding support for Apple's Open Directory as well?
You can open an RFE, but no. At the moment, no. But it's the first request. So if you're interested in following up on that, we can talk about that. It's open source. We can do whatever makes sense. It's meritocracy, right? If there is a use case, let's build it. Yes? Yeah?
Can you use FreeIPA to configure the client so that
you can code race and all that? So FreeIPA provides the central services for clients, right? So even if you want the user from Active Directory to authenticate, with the cross-realm Kerberos trusts, you join the systems to IPA, but it understands that it is a part of, well, SSSD understands that it is a part of the trust relations and that IPA is in trust relations with AD, and it would allow AD users to walk to the system or SSH into the system and authenticate. Right. Yeah.
Can you use that client piece to configure it to go against AD structures rather than FreeIPA? It's all the same stuff, right?
Okay, so what you are asking is the component is called RealmD. It's available in Fedora 19 and will be available in RHEL 7. It allows you to configure Linux system against either Active Directory or IPA. It wraps IPA client and does the similar thing for Active Directory. RealmD, one word. RealmD. Any other questions? Well, thank you very much. You have a question? No? Thank you. Thank you very much.